This is the Seedbed Daily Text. The second half challenge. The big assumption. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Consider this. Did you catch the first three words of today's text? They are what I call the big assumption. You were taught. The New Testament assumes we were taught the second half of the gospel. Paul assumes we were taught this way of discipleship, and that he is just reminding us of something with which we are already familiar. I don't know about you, but I was never taught this. I was taught a lot of content and information about God. I was taught I needed to believe it all. I was taught I needed to behave and manage my sin as best I could. But I was not really ever taught about the nature of self, other than that it was a problem I would need to deal with. Nor was I taught about the mind, other than that it was some part of my brain. On this point, the Bible says something really profound and deep and complex here. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The second half of the gospel is an ongoing process of transformation we must be taught and trained to enter into and live out. I get it at one level, yet can hardly grasp it. Hence my profound struggle to write cogently and clearly concerning it. Despite the fact that this teaching is everywhere in the New Testament, the truth is it has been generations since it was a mainstay teaching in the church. Hear it at Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. How about Romans 12:2? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I could go on all day with these. The point is to say the New Testament is teaching the second half of the gospel. It assumes we were taught it as part of our discipleship. Most of us were not. Most of us were taught some form of self-improvement with a little Jesus overlay. Trying harder to be better, managing our sin as best we could, showing up for church, and otherwise putting on our best face. At least I can say that's how I've lived a lot of my Christian life. I am now thoroughly overwhelmed with holy discontent for this way of low-bar mediocrity. Jesus did not come to get us into heaven when we die and prop up our old life in the meantime. He came to bring us into a life of extraordinary abundance, of deep humility, of profound authority, and of breathtaking love. He came to read the will of the Father with His very life and give us the inheritance right here and right now. He came to make us into His very likeness in every way. Ordinary saints, resplendent with the holiness of godliness, burning bushes, on fire, not consumed. As I contemplate ending this series before it's over, I feel frost welling up within me. So let's give Him the last word today. These woods are lovely, dark, and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep. Let's stay with this prayer from yesterday for the next few days. It's a deep well, the prayer. Jesus, I belong to You. You are my Lord and my God. I receive Your life in exchange for my life, all of it, right now. I no longer live. You live in me. I can never attain it, and I will never have to, for You have attained it all, and You are in me. I have been crucified with You. I have been raised with You. Everything in You is mine, and everything is mine in You, and everything in me is Yours. The old has gone, the new is come. I have put off the old self with its deceitful desires, and I have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of my Creator, created to be like You in righteousness and holiness, in beauty and splendor, in love divine, all loves excelling. I receive this life, which is all at once perfected and yet being transformed with ever-increasing glory, from one degree of glory to the next, and all of this is from You, Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. I am filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, and yet it is a fullness that ever admits more. I now live in Your kingdom, and this new way of asking and receiving, of seeking and finding, of knocking and opening. For I have You. You are the treasure buried in a field, and I have found You. And for joy, I exchange everything I have for that field. And the joy of finding You and being found by You over and over and over again. and being found in you with a righteousness and a goodness and love, not my own, but that comes from you first to last. You are my longing fulfilled. You are my answered prayer. You are my all in all. Amen. Amen. It is so. The question, so were you taught this way of the second half of the gospel in your discipleship? Or were you too taught more of a self-improvement, sin management, Jesus-ish version of the Christian life? How's your holy discontent going? For the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.